Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Joy, speaking to you from our podcast studio at Open Door Presbyterian Church. Beyond the Threshold is produced by ODPC Threshold, a media-based ministry of Open Door Presbyterian Church. The mission of the Threshold is to communicate the grace and glory of God through authentic dialogue, creative expression, and purposeful contemplation. So come on in, take a seat. This is Beyond the Threshold. ODPC operates as a single church family with two interdependent congregations, an English-speaking congregation, the EC, and a Korean-speaking congregation, the KC. Each congregation operates its ministry under the direction of its own elder board. The executive body for governance and operation of the entire church is a joint elder board consisting of the KC elder board and the EC elder board. Candidates for EC eldership must have formally served ODPC EC as a deacon in good standing for at least 3 years. EC elder candidates may be recommended by any EC member and are elected with the approval of a majority of the joint elder board and a two-third vote of the EC membership. On December 9 of 2018, Brother John Sim and Brother Sean Park were confirmed by a congregational vote as the newest EC elders at Open Door. Today, we're really excited. We've invited the newly elected elders to share with us about themselves and some of their thoughts about eldership, ministry, leadership. Welcome, guys.
Welcome.
Hi.
Thanks so much for coming.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys. How does it feel? 2018. How you guys feeling?
2019.
Oh my gosh.
It's already 2019. It's hard to believe. Oh, I feel goodness. Like I just opened the calendar for 2018 and now I have to get a 2019 calendar. So it's kind of weird.
I'm not used to saying it and clearly I'm not used to writing it. Oh man. So welcome. Thank you so much for stepping beyond the threshold with me and our listeners today. We want to get to know you guys a little bit better. How long? You guys know each other pretty well, too, right?
Yes. For many years now.
Would it be all right if, Sean, could I ask you to describe John in three words?
Okay, so three words, very intelligent, very thoughtful, and very compassionate. So
wow.
I could go on. Three words limit is, if I had to use those three words, that's how I would describe him.
Sean, what do you think?
Gosh, that's completely different than what I was thinking. Sean, I see as extremely humble, extremely tall, and extremely good looking. The podcast really doesn't do too much justice to...
No, that's not true. I'm glad this is a podcast.
I do remember, Sean, I don't know if you remember, but we were commissioned as deacons together as well. So it's awesome to be able to serve in this capacity with him now again.
That's really awesome. How long have you guys been in the ODPC family?
So this year would make it 20 years at ODPC for me.
And a little over 20 years. I arrived in 1996.
Wow.
So I've known John since the beginning, so it's coming up on 20 years.
That makes us dinosaurs around here.
Speaking of family, how about your families? Who's in your family? Can you share with us and introduce us
sure,
to them a little bit?
My wife, Gloria, you may have seen here and there. She does a lot of work on the mission side. Also seen her in the front desk here, checking in the kids. My boys, I have three boys, ages 13, 11, and 8. They're Jack, Drew, and Jamie. We have no pets yet.
Okay, leaving the door open.
So my wife, Jenny, is involved in the kitchen ministry, so you may have seen her around the kitchen. And I have two children, Timothy, who will be turning 20 in a couple weeks. He's a sophomore in college, and my daughter, Gabrielle, is a sophomore in high school. So
wow, almost empty nesters.
Almost there.
Speaking of the different, you guys mentioned your wives and where they're serving. Can you share with us a little bit about the ministries you guys have been involved in over the years?
Sure. I've spent most of my time in Open Door in the small group ministry. And as one of the coordinators there, our jobs were to take a look at the direction of the ministry, find out what kinds of studies we should go through, and preparing the lessons, as well as coordinating and keeping I guess, encouraging the leaders to take charge of their own groups. More recently, however, it's been exciting to launch and lead the 9-to-5 ministry, which is Open Doors Faith and Work Ministry, and helping people connect the dots between what we do day in and day out in our workplaces and how that connects with our faith.
So, love that. That's awesome. How about you, Sean?
So for me, I was a small group leader in South Reading many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And for many years, I served in the children's education ministry, teaching from preschool all the way up to youth group. And currently, I am serving in the Little Lights ministry with Director Stephanie. I'm a small group leader for third grade boys, and I'm also the deacon for Little Lights. I've gone on 5 missions trips with the Mexico short-term missions team, and I've also gone to Central Asia. And then I've worked in the finance ministry and also campus ops ministry in the past, too.
I love that. That's all over, different capacities, different life stages,
right,
of the church family. And do you guys have any favorite memories? Sean, for example, could you start us off of, you know, your time here at ODPC, something you might want to
share
with others?
I have a lot of great memories, but especially I think my favorite memories are with the children's ministry, because for me, especially when I was in FEM, that's the age when the children start to understand who God is and understand their relationship with God. And just to see that year after year as the kids come through, them just getting a better understanding of the love that God has for them. So that's always been special for me, especially the younger kids, the 5-6-year-olds.
Oh, that's awesome. And this is really beautiful to really see them grow. And
right,
I should say, for our listeners who aren't familiar, FVM is our Fruitful Vineyard ministry.
Right.
John, how about you? Any favorite memories so far and during your time at ODPC?
Sure. I guess Sean and I share in this area. A few years ago, we, 9-to-5 Ministry, led a career night for the youth group kids. And
nice.
What we did was we gathered a number of different industries, and we had folks from the EC congregation who are working in that industry come and talk with the youth kids on what their careers are like, kind of how they connect faith and work. And it was funny because as I was floating around the different industry groups, there were 6 different groups that were breakout sessions. There was a mom who kind of came up the stairs and peeked into one of the rooms to see which of the classrooms her son was in. And it was said in Korean, so I can't make it work right in English, but she basically said, "What is my son doing in the arts and design session?" And it was kind of a "ay, ay, ay" kind of a response. But what was neat was that was the most highly attended session out of all the different ones.
Yeah.
So that breaks a little bit of a trend on, oh, only doctors and lawyers, those are the career paths of choice, to there was some vibrant discussion that was happening in there. So that was very satisfying to see the youth connecting the dots very early on about what their passions are, what they're wired for, and perhaps what God's calling them to do.
From your perspective, what makes ODPC distinct?
Well, the interdependency model is, I think, the perhaps biggest distinguishing factor for us.
Okay.
We have been successfully able to have 2 congregations operating on 1 campus, sharing vision, sharing resources, being able to literally share 1 AstroTurf field where you see a lot of commingling happen. Our kids play together, our adults congregate together, as well as sharing in different ministry opportunities. I think that's the thing that draws us apart from a lot of different churches.
Mm.
That too has opened up a lot of opportunity for us to look ahead to the future. There's a lot to be done, as there always is, but those are areas that excite me the most as I look to eldership in the next few years about how we can continue to build new bridges and find out opportunities for us to work together.
So for me, in my experience, especially during the times that I've been going to different churches in my lifetime, I think ODPC does a great job of emphasizing children's education ministry. It's not just an afterthought. It's not, we're just going to occupy the kids while the parents worship.
Yeah.
This church pours a lot of time, resources, devotion, and prayer in making sure that the kids have a better understanding of God. So I really, during my time here at ODPC, really appreciate how we really emphasize the importance of the children's ministry. And also, for me, ODPC does a great job of emphasizing short-term missions, giving a lot of opportunities for people to go to different places. And the beauty about the short-term missions that I've been on, they've been with the Korean congregation and the English congregation working together as one. So that interdependence model is manifested in short-term missions. So I think those are the strengths that ODPC has.
That's wonderful. I love also, in addition to sort of the interdependence that you're talking about, there's an intentionality, I think, that you kind of bring up about whether it's children's ministry or looking for distinct opportunities for missions and involving the broader congregation and giving everybody that opportunity to really participate in God's work together. When you look at the ministries you've been involved in, how does that inform sort of the way in which you guys are looking ahead to the eldership, and how does it inform maybe perhaps your own leadership philosophy in your service here at ODPC?
That's a really good question. I mean, for me, being an elder is somewhat of a daunting task, because I remember as a child, you know, elders were the old guys in the church, and then so I guess I'm at that
salt
age
and pepper
now.
Yeah,
right. That's you now.
Yeah, that's definitely me. But I mean, in many ways, it is a title, but I'm not looking at it just as a title, but a greater capacity to serve more and just bring to the table all the experiences I've had in the different ministries. That's my view as of now. We haven't formally stepped into our roles yet. Our ordination is until later this month, but Pastor John and some of the other elders have given us some great reading material to look at, and we've had some good discussions with Pastor John and Pastor David and the other elders. So, I mean, we'll see how the future holds, but do you have anything to add on that, John?
Yeah, The experiences I've had in small group ministry and 9 to 5, unfortunately or fortunately, are shaping the way that I look at the next few years, which is with small group ministry, it's very relational. We're engaged in a lot of teaching, but we're also balancing that off with how we interact with people. There's a fellowship of believers that happens there. So we've always tried to strike that balance. So naturally, I hope that extension to the greater congregation, you know, will be helpful, that we can continue to teach from our places of eldership, as well as to help connect dots amongst the congregants. But 9 to 5 ministry, however, what's been exciting is that we're now externally facing, where we're not limited to this campus or to the Sunday hours, but looking at how is it that the gospel informs and impacts and shapes what we do every day. And so as we look out to how we spend our time at work, at Starbucks, at our different types of meetings here and there, all those things are ways and opportunities for us to be ambassadors for Christ in our various spheres of influence.
So that holistic, right, approach to being a follower of Jesus in everything that we're doing and in all aspects of our lives. It's in terms of being followers of Christ and looking, there's so many different you know, popular books out there, you know, whether it's the New York Times or whatever, there's so many different philosophies out there. And I really appreciate you guys sharing sort of the way you look at how the ministry is informed, the way you guys are looking ahead. What are your thoughts in terms of, you know, the concept of shepherding, being a shepherd? The eldership sometimes is also, you know, termed in that concept. What does that mean to you? And sort of, if you could break down, also maybe for some of us who aren't as familiar, what is an elder sort of more technically, sort of breaking that down for us a little bit?
Sure. So to start with the question about what is an elder, I mean, the role of the elder and the qualification of the elder is defined in the Bible. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and Titus chapter 1. In my viewpoint, and what I've been taught and shown through this sort of the application interview process, and the elder provides oversight to the congregation, shepherds the body. They also provide sort of the management of the administrative side of the church, and, mm-hmm. and they also support the pastoral staff. So those sort of encapsulate the roles of the elder, but shepherding is probably the most important part. And then Pastor John gave me and John a great book to read called Church Elders by Jeremy Rhines, and he has this chapter called Smell Like the Sheep.
And smell like the sheep.
Smell like a good shepherd will smell like his sheep. So that means as a shepherd, you can't be on your own leading afar, but mm-hmm. you have to be with your sheep, and that being relational, being part of their lives and sharing your lives with the church is an important part of being a good shepherd. So that was very important to me.
What are your thoughts, John?
Yeah, if you put it into two buckets, I see it as overseer and shepherd. And on the overseer side, we have all the responsibilities that go to the fiduciary responsibilities of running the church, as well as the governance aspects, making sure that all the things behind the scenes are working properly. But as Sean said, the more important of those two factors are the shepherding side, where our responsibilities are to take care of the spiritual health of all the congregants. And the way we do that, and I love that piece about smelling like sheep. That's, I think, the thing that stuck out the most for me, perhaps me personally.
It's
because,
a very visceral description.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. It's, well, when I first became a Christian, John chapter 10 was very important to me. In that,
how so? Can you unpack that?
The pastor who spoke, he was a Scottish guy, so it sounded much cooler in the, in the Scottish accent at the time.
We're not going to try our Scottish accents
here. No, I'm not going to try it either. He said there's two marks to the Christian, one on the ear and one on the foot. Mm. And he said the sheep hear the shepherd and they follow him. And so they are able to listen and follow, one on the ear, one on the foot. And so for me, that visually kind of helped me connect the dots of what it means to be a Christian. And now, as we read about, you know, there's an olfactory mark as well, where, you know, we smell
the
like the sheep. Yeah,
also.
No, it really puts it all together for me as well. This image of a sheep and a shepherd, we simultaneously being one of the sheep, but at the same time having additional responsibilities of taking care in just the way as a shepherd would, not from the smell of a boardroom, but from amongst the sheep.
You know, I think people have a misconception that, you know, of eldership, because I think when John and I, they made the announcement of our nomination, and people came to me and congratulated me, like it was some sort of promotion, or I won an election or something like that. But I think more appropriately, it's something when my friends became elders, I said thank you for your service, like as mm-hmm. if, you know, they were in the military, because it's not that they've achieved something great. It's just they're doing something in a different capacity to serve. So
answered a call in
right,
some ways.
Precisely,
right?
Precisely.
You talked about the nomination process or that application selection process. Can you share a little bit about what that was like and sort of maybe how you felt going through it?
Well, for me, I mean, there is an application process mm-hmm. That's reviewed by the elder board and the pastoral staff. And then there's an interview process where we're interviewed by the elder board. They also ask for references from our employer, from different people that we know from church, and they interviewed our spouses, because it is, in many ways, a family commitment also. Then we went through an election process where we were voted by the congregational, by the congregation during the congregational meeting. So that's pretty much, am I missing anything, John?
It was both a fast and slow process, it felt. The application itself is rather lengthy, and it asks us to articulate our belief, as well as some of the reasons why we feel called to eldership. And for me, that was a really important question. That's something I chewed through the most, which is, why me? And, you know, how am I the right person? I'm sure there are many other
people. Was there a back and forth internally for you?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's what I struggled through the most, which there are so many qualified people in our church to be able to take on these responsibilities. So that's the piece that I had to work through the most myself. Mm. And Sean's right. I kind of received a lot of the thank yous as well. But in addition, Gloria, my wife, also received a lot of congratulations. And I don't know. I think Sean's right that, you know, there's a great thank you that's owed to spouses and family as well, because they take on quite a lot of additional responsibilities in the meantime to free us up to have some time to commit to the church.
I mean, for me, I think, like John said, it's during the application process, there's a lot of self-reflection, a lot of prayer, just making sure that my motivation was right, making sure that not only did I have the spiritual capacity to serve, but just the right heart to do it. So it was actually a good refining process for me.
Was there also this discussion or decision point also for you, as you mentioned, it's a commitment for the whole family, right? And your wife, John, also receiving sort of the thank you were. Was that a conversation, a difficult conversation for you as a family?
I wouldn't say it was a difficult conversation, but it was a lively debate between my wife and I, because I think we're all busy in our lives, and we just wanted to make sure that in terms of not just personal bandwidth, but just making sure that we do the church justice, making sure that we do the right thing. So my wife and I had a long talk about it, and then she fully supported our decision once we prayed about it and discussed it. But I mean, that was very fruitful, and I'm glad that Pastor John also spoke to her separately, because I think it provided a lot of reassurance and provided a lot of focus for her and for us as a family. So it was good.
Yeah, likewise, we came to some lively conversation, but a rather quick decision. I think Gloria was supportive pretty quickly, and that helped eliminate some of the reasons why I have to say no.
Don't have an excuse.
Yeah, no, my excuse is running out pretty quickly. But Gloria was very, very supportive from the get-go. Now, our boys are a little bit younger than Sean's kids, so recognize that it's going to be a very busy time in our lives. Right. But that being said, I'm taking a lot of cues from our earlier elders who have been there before.
What kind of cues?
Well, a lot of warnings about be prepared for the time commitments. But at the same time, they are reminding us to make sure that our callings at home as parents, as spouses, that we take care of ourselves there as well. So, we're watching, we're learning. I'm doing the same with Sean. I learned a lot from him over the years. So, kind of seeing how he goes through these first couple of years too, I'll be learning a lot
and
from.
And to go through that together, you guys were deacons together, kind of going through this experience. And are there other sort of resources and things that you think that, you know, your families and each other and other elders, and certainly other elders within the KC, other resources that you guys hope to sort of draw on or perhaps look to?
So for me, actually, one of the easiest part of my decision-making process in terms of whether or not I wanted to be an elder was actually looking at the current elder board. Many of them I've known for many years. In fact, a couple of them I've known for almost 25 years plus.
Wow, in so different a lot capacity. Of history together.
Right. So I knew that I respected them a lot. I knew who they were because I've been in small groups with them, served in different ministry capacities with them, also were personal friends with them. So it wasn't like sort of an arranged marriage where it was awkward. I didn't know who they were. It was like marrying my best friend. So it was like, I know who they are. They know who I am. So it was very, I think it's going to dovetail well in terms of our ability to share thoughts and communicate. And John, too. I mean, I've known John for a very long time. And so that was the easy part. In terms of resources, I think I'm going to rely on mentors I've had, spiritual mentors from my previous lives, previous churches, and just the focus on prayer. I mean, the book that John, Pastor John gave to us really said that the focus on prayer has to be key, and our spiritual lives have to be strong in order to serve in this capacity.
I take a lot of cues from different places. You know, naturally, there's a, I guess you can say a Christian angle, or perhaps a Christian lens through which appropriately we see the world, as well as you know, how we think and act and live. But that being said, there's such value. I mean, God created everything. So as a result, then there's glimpses of God's glory in all sorts of things. So I think the challenge there for us is to be able to see what that is. And as we draw on some of those things, that creates a wonderful myriad diversity of experiences, of exposures, of thoughts, influences, and whatnot that I hope that will be the kinds of resources I draw from. So it's not limited to just a, I guess you can say, a purely churchy kind of a set of experiences of backgrounds. But as you mentioned earlier, an article in the New York Times, or it could be just going for a walk here in Herndon, or it might be something that's Aquaman. I just watched Aquaman. Wasn't thrilled with Aquaman, unfortunately, but
I see Sean shaking his head.
Yeah. But there are great things we can learn from Aquaman, I'm sure. I just have to look carefully enough. So I do look forward to drawing from just a wide range of resources to help the next few years.
Are there things that our listeners, our congregation, how can we support you?
This role as an elder, it can't be, we can't do it from an ivory tower.
We talk about it being relational, right?
It requires a lot of feedback and participation from everyone. I think in preparing for this interview, there was a term called followership, that a good Christian should pursue followership, and I think that's so true. I mean, I think not just elders or deacons or the average congregant, but everyone as a Christian needs to learn to grow, learn and to follow, to really be committed in this church, not just as an organization, but approach it as a family type of institution. So I think that's one way that you know, members of the church could support the eldership.
I hope that there's grace given to us as we make our errors, as well as decisions. It's a tough job. I think the advice I was given years ago about pastors is you got to cut them a break. It's such a hard job. So the responsibilities of the oversight features, the governance piece, I think is kind of the easy part. It's the shepherding part that's so challenging. So as we go on to that effort, to the extent that you know, we could be given some grace in what we do, I think that will really help.
I think, you know, bringing up the idea that at the end of the day, we're all here as followers of Christ, right? We're all here trying to follow the ultimate person to follow, right? And not just sort of, it's not about following the shepherds that we have here only. It's ultimately really about how do we follow Jesus and encourage each other, right, to follow and be more and more like Jesus. So I love that you bring up the followership concept and ultimately defining, right, who are we following?
Correct.
And I think it's totally appropriate, given what you were saying earlier. I mean, we to sort of not leave this podcast without saying, you know, thank you for your service, thank you for answering the calling, and thank you for what you will be doing and the prayers that you guys are praying for our church. And again, end it with ultimately, thank you. We look forward to getting to know you more as elders here at OTPC.
Thank you, Joy.
Parting thoughts? Anything you guys want to?
I mean, I think one thing that I've been really processing is that in this leadership capacity, which is different from other leadership capacities I've had, whether it be my civilian employment or my past jobs, it's not that we're, you know, for corporations, the goal is to make a profit. For if you're in a government agency, there are national priorities, but for the church, the goal, that the thing that really should run through our veins as leaders is the love of God. I mean, that's the purpose, is serving God, spreading the gospel. So we have to be guided by love. That's one thing that I'm going to try to make sort of a cornerstone in my role as an elder. And that's going to challenge me, expand me. I know there's going to be ups and downs throughout my term, but that is my hope and prayer as I approach this role.
How about you, John? Any final parting thoughts?
Yeah, no, the kind of the pillars of my faith are that God is sovereign and that he's good. And as a result, it frees us up quite a lot to be able to trust that what he's doing, that we get to participate in, is both under his control as well as it's a good thing, that he's engaging in a renewal, a restoration, a redemption of all things. And we're just a little snippet of it along the way, but as we get to participate in that, we get the pleasure as well as the joy of participating in that as we see glimpses of just his wonderful grace and goodness, that's going to be cause for us to celebrate, seeing that hope and seeing that that future. That's the awesome stuff that I look forward to working with Sean, the other elders, as well as our congregation on.
Thank you so much for letting us be a little snippet of your day. And thank you again. We'll look forward to chatting with you guys.
Thanks, Joy. Appreciate it.
A big thanks to John Sim and Sean Park, our newly elected elders at Open Door Presbyterian Church, for appearing on our podcast today. You can connect with John at ODPC's 9-to-5 Faith and Work Ministry, and you can serve with Sean in our Little Lights Ministry. For more information on The Threshold, visit us at threshold.odpcec.org and subscribe to our blog for ODPC news, discourse, and creative content. If you'd like to share your story with us and be featured on Beyond the Threshold, please contact threshold@odpcec.org. To all our listeners, thank you for stepping beyond the threshold with me. Special thanks to John Lim and Sarah Oh. I'm Joy from Open Door Presbyterian Church. Be sure to join us next time on Beyond the Threshold.